Good morning, everybody. God bless you. We are starting a new series called The Good Work for 5 weeks. This series will take us through the remainder of our groups on Wednesday night. So like we said, you can plug in at any time. Come here on a Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m., I think it is. It's 6:30 to 8. And you will be able to just join right in with our message and get plugged in with The Good Work. You guys ready for a new word this morning, a new series? Amen. Well, if I were to title the message this morning, I would call it God's at Work. God's at Work. Let's read out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. If you didn't bring your Bible, we've got the Holy Bible right up here on the jumbo screen. It's a very anointed word right up there on the screen. So you can read there. It says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a beautiful, beautiful Memorial Day weekend. We thank you for this Sunday. We thank you for the word that's coming forth. Lord, I pray this morning that you would anoint this word. I pray that you would customize this word. Allow the word that needs to be spoken to be met in the hearts of each and every person, God, that we would be liberated, that we would be encouraged, that we would be straightened out where we need to be straightened out. And God, I pray this in the name of Jesus, and I pray that you would water this seed and that the enemy would not be able to snatch out of our hearts the joy and the good things that you're putting in our spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said a hearty amen, amen and amen. Thank you for coming to church on Memorial Day weekend. Thank you so much. Well, I have a confession to make. As a dad, when we had our babies, and now some of you have this same confession, you're laying there in bed and the baby's crying, right? And you know the baby needs help with something, whether it needs to be fed or he or she needs a diaper change or whatever, and have you ever just kind of laid there while the baby's crying or the kids are creating a ruckus or they need mom or dad and you just laid there pretending like you were asleep? I have done that many. You're laying there just please, just wake up, honey. Just please get up and just please go and do this thing. I don't want to wake up. And probably both people are playing that game. You know what I mean? Like both are laying there pretending like they're sleeping and hoping the other person wakes up first, right? We'll have an altar call later if you need to repent. Yeah, the reason is because we don't want to get up. We don't want to disrupt our sleep and work, right? We don't want to be disrupted and do something that is uncomfortable. We just want to lay there where it's comfortable, where it feels good, where we're just relaxing, right? And so we would prefer our spouse to get up and do the dirty work, right? Come on now, let's be real. It's not like any of us are like, woohoo, I want to get up and change that diaper right now. Like, you don't want to, you know, we got this little game lately when a diaper needs to be changed, which is not going to happen for very much longer in my house, I'll have you know. But it's like, not it. Have you ever played that game? Not it. It's like, not it. That means it's me. If it's not you, it's me. Well, hey, I want to talk to you this morning about the good work that God has for us. And I want to start this series on the subject that God's at work. God's at work in our lives. You know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, working for the church, being about God's purpose and doing and doing and doing. But before we even talk about us, before we talk about the work that we're called to do for God, let's start by acknowledging the great worker himself. Because God is the ultimate worker. God is the worker. He is the great worker. He's got the broad shoulders. Come on, somebody. He can lift the weight of the government. The weight of the world can be set upon the shoulders of Jesus because he's a working God, right? He gets his fingernails dirty. Come on, somebody. He knows how to work. And because he's a great God. Let me show you a couple scriptures. Isaiah 64, 4. It says, since before time began, from all of eternity past, no one imagined or even heard about or even seen a God like this. A God who works for those who wait for. Did you hear what the prophet said? This God is so good. This God is so amazing. This God is so profound. This God goes beyond our wildest imaginations because he's not sitting there on a throne with a crown on saying, would you please serve me? Serve me. Bring me some grapes. Come on now. Bring me some grapes. Bring me some fruit. Come on, servants, you know, ring the bell. Snap, snap. Get over here and serve me. Quite to the contrary. This is a king who serves people. He's not waiting to be served. He's the great servant himself, isn't he? He turned to his disciples and he said, who you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? The greatest among you will be the servants of all. What a great God we serve. He's the great worker. He's the server. You know, in the book of Acts 17:25, God is not served by what? Human hands. In other words, God doesn't need anything from us. God doesn't need our help. Come on now. I know that might be a blow to some of our egos, right? God doesn't need you. He doesn't need our human hands. Rather, he himself is the one who gives everyone life, everyone breath, and everything else we need. Did you catch that? He's the one working for you, not the other way around. Come on, there's no help wanted sign in heaven. Some of you are like, are you sure? I thought we were supposed to work. No, let's get the theology straight. Let's get it right. Before we start talking about our work, let's talk about him as the great worker. Amen? Come on, you don't work for salvation. You don't work for God. You don't work for favor. You don't work for blessing. You don't work for any of that. You just receive it as a gift from God. He's the great worker. He's the great blesser. He doesn't need our help. He just wants to serve us and bless us and favor us and prosper us. Come on now. This is the God we serve. In the book of Ephesians, this is what I call the divine order. It's by grace you have been saved, through faith, unto good works. Sometimes as people, as believers, we get this theology in the wrong order. There's nothing wrong with grace, there's nothing wrong with faith, and there's nothing wrong with doing good works unless we get the order of the doctrine mixed up. Come on now. You put the cart before the horse and you don't have any horsepower. Amen? So the reason you have faith is because God's grace gifted you with a measure of faith. God divinely persuaded you, and if it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be able to put your faith in him. He came down many generations, came born through a Virgin Mary, became a baby, grew up to be a bondservant, served man, died on the cross, suffered on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead so that you could be saved. Your response to God is a response to his grace in your life. Then the Bible says, you know, submit your body as a reasonable sacrifice. In other words, when we do things for God, when we're about the purpose that God has for us, it's not radical. I hear a lot of preachers say, let's get radical for Jesus. Come on, we're going to be radical. The Bible says it's not radical. The Bible says service unto God, service unto other people is actually reasonable. By contrast of the immense blessing in the magnitude of grace and lavish of love that you've poured into my life, it's only my reasonable response to lay my life down and to just say, thank you so much. What can I do for you, sir? Amen. This is not a radical thing. This is a reasonable response of gratitude to say, thank you, and I'm at your service, Lord. It says, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. See, God is the worker. God did the work. You know, they came up to Jesus. What good work must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? This is the work of God. Believe on the Son of Man. Believe on Jesus, and you shall be saved. Everything else is just a reasonable response to his work. Amen. I want to share with you this morning three reasons why people don't serve God. Buckle your seatbelts. Buckle your seatbelts. Three reasons why people don't serve God. And I promise you, you will be encouraged. This is not a slap, a pastoral slap on the wrist. This is a blessing this morning. You will be greatly blessed and you will be encouraged. You guys ready? Number one, some people don't serve God because they feel useless. Some people don't serve God because they feel useless. They feel unqualified. They don't feel like they measure up. They don't feel like they're worthy. They don't feel like they have the goods. They don't feel. Come on, somebody. Moses didn't feel like he could speak to Pharaoh because he had a speech impediment. But God had a plan for Moses, right? Moses didn't feel like serving because he killed an Egyptian. Amen. Paul killed Christians and persecuted the church, and yet God still used Paul, did he not? God used most of the Bible was written by murderers and adulterers. Amen. So some people don't serve God because they feel useless. Let's go back to our text, Ephesians 2:10. For we are whose? His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Think about this. You, another translation of the word workmanship is masterpiece. The original word literally means a work of art. It has this implication of God who has crafted you, who has meticulously and carefully designed you in such a way that suited his good pleasure. Can I get an amen? Amen. In other words, you are who you are and you were created the way you were created by God on purpose and for a purpose. You're not an accident. You didn't evolve from an ape. You're not some random collocation of atoms. You are uniquely and wonderfully designed and created by the God of the universe so he could do something wonderful in your life. I want you to think about your height, your skin color, your hair, your receding hair. Come on, somebody. The tonation of your voice, your intellect level, your giftings, your life experiences. God takes all of these like a big tapestry and he weaves it all together to create something that he wants to create. You say, even that thing that was ridiculous, even that stuff I went through when I grew up, even these bad things that happened in my life, you telling me that God uses those things? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Yeah. All of these things are working together for good for those who love God and those who called according to his purpose. These experiences in your life, even the messed up ones, he didn't cause these things to happen in your life, but he uses these things to happen in your life. He shaped you. He molded you. He's the potter and you're the clay. And he's molded you and shaped you into the person he needs you to be. You are not who you are by accident. You are who you are. God is shaping you. God is crafting you. And you are a work of art from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You put the greatest painting, the greatest sculpture, the greatest masterpiece up. You are God's masterpiece. You're his greatest creation. You look at the whales, look at the earth, look at the universe, look at the cosmos, look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the beauty and the oceans and all the beautiful mountains and all this wonderful beauty that you see. You are superior to that part of creation. You see, he created all of this for you. He created this so that you could be here and that so you could enjoy this creation. You are his prized possession and creation. And you stand apart from every other living creature because you have a soul and you were created in the image of God. Yeah. Pastor, are you telling me cats don't go to heaven? Yeah, cats don't. Dogs might, but cats don't go to heaven. You always get a laugh with the cat jokes. You can't tell God that I'm useless. You're telling the potter that he doesn't know what he's doing. You're telling the potter, you're telling the master creator that he messed up when he created you. There's nothing good in you. There's no use for you. There's nothing you have to offer. You're not smart enough. You're not cute enough. You don't have the intellect. You don't have the experience. You don't got the Bible degree. You don't have the business background. All these things doesn't matter. God has use for you. And if you're somebody who you're not serving God because you feel useless, you have nothing to offer, I'm here to tell you that is not true. You are very useful. God has a purpose for you. Amen. In Psalm 139, 14, here's how the psalmist says it. He says, thank you for making me. See, sometimes we just got to thank God for making us. Amen. Some of you are like, that sounds conceited. No, you're thanking God. You're not bragging about yourself. You said, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Some of you are like, yeah, my spouse is a little bit complex. Another translation says, thank you, God. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You took your time. You planned this one out. You worked overtime on this one. You thought this one out. You really dialed it in. You took your time. You took great care in the way you created me. He says, your what? Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Come on, God created you. His workmanship is fantastic. You say, well, I've made a lot of mistakes, and you know, now that you see, that's your mistakes don't define you. Jesus defines you. Amen. The second reason some people don't serve God is because they don't feel called. They might feel like they've got skills. You might have business skills. You might have, you know, whatever skills you have, but you don't feel like you're called to use those in the body of Christ. So some people don't serve God. It's not because they feel useless. It's simply because they don't feel like God's calling them to do anything. God's not calling them for any specific purpose within the context of the body of Christ. You see, but let's continue on in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which, what? God prepared beforehand. In other words, God's not trying to figure out, oh, okay, look, I created a few too many people. All right, I created Susie over here and Joey over there and Barb over there and Mikey over there. And now I got to figure out what to do with them. Let's figure out what they can do. Okay, what are you good at, Mike? You're pretty good at math. Maybe we should put you in the bank. Doesn't work that way. He created you knowing the purpose and the assignments in advance. You guys follow me? He has this work for you. He has the plans for you. He has the assignments for you. He knows what he needs from you, and that's why he created you. Come on, somebody. So you were created, you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You don't work to be saved, you work because you are saved, which God prepared. You don't have to figure out what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hear from God what you're supposed to do. Do you follow me? Yes. God might surprise you in what you have treasures on the inside of you you don't even know about yet. Come on now. Listen, I'm kind of an introvert. When I was in high school, you know where they vote on people in your senior year, you know, most likely to succeed, most likely to do this, most likely whatever. I was almost voted shyest. Almost. I remember the guy who was, he was definitely shyer than me, but I didn't come out of my shell until probably my late 20s. I'm a naturally introverted person. I am the last person in my high school graduating class that anyone would have thought would grab a microphone and speak to people. The last person. You don't know what God has for you. You don't know what He might want to do in your life. You have no idea the incredible thing that God might want to do in your life. So your job, should you choose to accept it, is to begin to seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do in my... Your word says you've got something for me. Your word says there's something for me to do. I know I'm uniquely created. I've been crafted in this way that you skillfully just molded me into this person I am. There's something for me to do, God. And God says absolutely yes. He's got assignments for you. He puts things in your heart. He puts dreams in your spirit because He's pushing you towards something. Come on now. God prepared the gifts in 1 Peter 4:10. I want to share this scripture with you. Each of you, the Bible says. This is what Peter, each of you. How many of you? Each of you. All, A-L-L. Detergent cleaner. Each of you what? Should use whatever gift you have received. Come on now, this is where we can't get cocky about it. You can't get all big-headed about it. It's like, look at me, I'm so spiritual, all this stuff. You got gifts on the inside of you, just receive them. You were just born with it. Come on, you got it going on and you don't even have to try. Come on now, if you try to put yourself into an atmosphere and in a gifting that you're not really called to do, you're gonna be sweating twice as much and working twice as hard and getting half the results. But you put somebody on an assignment that's gifted and it just snaps into place. They're just on the keys, just like half the effort just comes natural. They can just sing, they can just blow, right? They can just get up there, they can lead. They're just natural born leaders or natural born prayers or natural born encouragers or natural born preachers or natural born teachers or natural born pastors or natural born wealth builders or natural born business leaders. Whatever God's assignment is for you, God has put it in you and it comes naturally because you received a gift. You can't take credit for your gift. You can't take credit for the little thing that you're really good at because the person next to you is really good at their little thing. And the little thing that they do really good, you might not be able to do so good, so don't get so hung up on how good you are at the things you do because somebody else can do something else better than you, right? As faithful stewards of God's grace, each of you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that God has distributed to everyone gifts. Every single person has a spiritual gift. You say, ooh, that sounds spooky, spiritual gift? Yeah, you might be a really good administrator, and that's a spiritual gift. You might be super organized, and there are people that have visionary gifts that needs your help. Because what good is a vision if there's not anybody who can help you bring it to pass? The Bible says every joint supplies. So you don't, you know, there's no schisms in the body because you don't say the eye doesn't have need of the ear and the ear doesn't have need of the eye and the, you know, the arm, like, and the most uncomely parts, like my liver, is really important part. I can't see it and it doesn't look pretty, but my liver is very, very valuable to the functioning of my body, right? You see, the uncomely parts receive even greater honor so that there's no schisms. We need an interconnected body working together so we're not limping as a body. Come on, Grace Road Church is a body. And we can't be limping or dragging, you know, or we can't see where we're going, right? We don't got arms. We need every person functioning in their place so we're a functioning, working, productive group of people. Come on, somebody. Each of us has a place. Each of us has an assignment. Each of us matters in the body of Christ. The third reason and final reason that some people don't serve God is because they don't want to serve God. Why aren't you serving God? Because I'm not serving God. I don't want to. I'm not ready. I don't want to. It's not my time. I don't feel like it. I'd rather stay home. I want to go fishing. I want to go golfing. I want to do this. It doesn't matter. You just don't want to. Well, there's a word for you as well. Ephesians 2:10. Notice we're always in Ephesians right here in the same scripture. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we, what? Should walk in them. Not a suggestion, you know, we should walk in them. Should is a standard that exists outside. It's an independent standard that says you should do this, right? It's not subjective. It's objective. It's a should. It's a something that God has put in you for a reason that we should walk in them. We're supposed to walk in them. You're like, I thought you weren't going to slap us. I'm not. Here's why. When you are functioning according to the giftings that God put in you, according to his great master plan for your life, when you are operating in the body of Christ that way, in whatever capacity God reveals that for you in your life, you are living your best life. Do you hear me? When you know you're living the will of God in your life, he's opening doors for you, he's doing things, and you are satisfied, you are fulfilled, and you are walking out your very purpose, this is the greatest life imaginable. So this is a call for us to step into the great things that God wants to do in our life. You know, we're launching Saturday Night Church. We are stepping out, ladies and gentlemen. We are stepping out. We are casting our net. This is no small thing. We are taking a big step of faith. We are informing the community that if you can't make it to church, here's another option for you. That's twice as much work for me. Twice as much work for some of us. And you know, we're not trying to put too much of a load on any one particular person, or we've got people that we've got a plan on this. We got a plan for this, okay? But we're gonna have to help us get through this, help us get through this transition so we're working and functioning together. If God has put something in your heart like, hey, yeah, I need to step in and I wanna do this here, I wanna do this there, we need your help. I ain't too proud to beg. No, it's not a beg. It's the last thing you want is people doing things out of obligation. God puts a want to, not a have to. It's a word should, but it's a want to. It's a want to in your life. Hebrews 10:24. Let's look at this. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another. Come on, if you just don't feel like serving God, if you just don't feel like getting involved, come on, you're missing out. This is the best life that we're living. When you're doing something that's greater than you, it's great, you know what? And it's just, we're just spending so much time filling ourselves with our phones and our TVs and things that we do, and we make our lives so busy, and there's so much that we have to do. The Bible says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Come on, now the men's group is stepping up. The viral group is stepping up. The church is stepping up. We are stepping forward, and we're believing God for greater growth in the summer months than in the normal months of a church. Come on, somebody. This is what's gonna happen this summer. We're not going down, we're going up. we're increasing in number. We're increasing our effectiveness and our reach in the community. And we're doing this strategically, on purpose, following the unction and the planning and the words of God in this ministry. So I'm just trying to figure out, how can I stir all you up? How can we stir each other up? How can we sharpen iron so that we're all beginning to just get fired up about this? You say, well, what's the big deal about, you know, being a part of a community? Because we're about seeing people who are in darkness set free from their bondages. We're about people who are heading straight to the pit. Come on now, they're spiritually dead people. We're about shining light into their world. We're about drawing them, attracting them to Jesus and telling them there's a God who loves you. There are people all around us that are broken and hurting and messed up, and they just need somebody like you to tell them God loves you. Have you heard about Jesus? Come on with us to Saturday night. Come on, it's going to be fun. They go to, and God delivers people. You see, every penny we invest, every resource we invest, every minute and second we invest, all of our time, treasure, and talents that we invest in the kingdom of God is for an eternal thing. Come on. Money outside of the kingdom is just money. It's just fluid. It just comes and goes. Money's just like a river. It just goes. It's just like, whew. But in the kingdom, when it's invested, it lasts for eternity. It's sowing into something that actually really matters. There's no greater calling. There's no higher calling than what the kingdom of God is offering us. Amen? And so, I don't know, what can we do to stir each other up, to love and to be about good works? Some of you, it's like, I can't believe he's preaching this, because we're always preaching about identity and receiving God's love and knowing who we are in Christ. But it's, you know, the divine order is by grace through faith unto good works. The good works is the grand finale. It's the fireworks. It's the product and the fruit of a life that's been transformed, of a thankful, grateful life. Where God has come in, he's just lavished you with grace, love, forgiveness, favor, and you just received all of it by faith, and now you're a productive, fruitful person, and in the process, people are glorifying your Father in heaven because they see what God is doing in your life. Let us get stirred up to love each other and to be about what God is doing. Amen? I want to close with this final thought that is so powerful. You say, well, I feel useless. Okay, I understand. You say, well, I don't feel called. Yeah, I understand that too. You say, well, you know what? I just don't feel like it. I just don't want to. In Philippians, in the book of Philippians 2:13, the Bible says, Paul wrote, for God is working, Wendy, you can come on up. God is working in you. Come on now. God's at work in you, giving you. Man, this is all grace. You say, I do feel like serving the Lord. That's because God's grace has worked in your heart. You say, I do feel called because God's grace worked in your heart. You say, I do feel like it because God's grace has been at work in your heart. God is working in you, giving you the desire. Come on now. You lack desire. God is the giver of desire and passion. Go to God. I dare you to go to God and say, God, give me some desire. Give me some passion. He will show you somebody that's broke, somebody who's broken. He will show. Go on a mission trip and come back and you'll never be the same. See some hungry people and you say, what have I been doing with my life? Go out there and minister to somebody. Watch them just cry and weep and know that the Lord is speaking to them. And they put their faith in the living God, forever changed. A soul snatched out of the pit of hell and brought into the kingdom of light. And you see that and you realize there's no greater work in my life than the kingdom of God. You want a desire, God will give you desire. You need some passion, God will give you passion. He is actively working in you when you don't even see it. When you're at sleep and you're doing whatever you're doing, God is stirring in your heart. Not only a desire, but the power. He's training you. Come on now. He's given you the wisdom. He's given you the know-how. You're being trained. You don't even know it. You're picking up on things. You don't even know what God's doing in your life. God wants us to engage with where He's taking us. He's working in you to give you what only God can give you. You say, why is that? Why is that ministry so effective? Why are they so unified? Look at that church over there. They're so unified. They're all working. They're so passionate because God's doing a work in them. God's doing a work in us. God wants you to have desire for the works that He has for you. And He's giving you the power. He doesn't tell you to do something and then leave you stranded without any power. He said, you shall receive power to go and proclaim this gospel to every part of the earth. God has put in you His power, His giftings to do what pleases Him. We don't want to be people pleasers or self pleasers. We want to be God pleasers, don't we? We preached that a few weeks ago. So God, some of you has been working on your heart for years. Notice how patient He is. Just notice how resilient He is. Why can't I shake this, God? Because He's working in you. He's putting in you a desire. When He knocked Paul down, when he was on the road to go mess up some Christians, Paul says, who is this? Who are you, Lord? He says, this is Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Like a mule who's kicking against spikes, resisting the plowing forward, trying to plow backwards, trying to stop. It's hard. It's a drudgery when we're resisting what God's putting in us. And He will never let up. He will never take His hand off you. He will continue to put a hand on you that comes from heaven that says, I'm never letting up. You will relent. You will resign to this. You will cave into this. You will give into this. I'm never going to let my hand off of you because I've got something for you to do. Not because I need you, but because you need me. Come on, somebody. And I want you to live out the very reason why I created you. Come on, do you take a hammer and go take your hammer and then try to open your garage door with the hammer? Or do you use your garage door opener? You don't use a hammer because it wasn't created for that. You use your garage door opener because it was created to open your garage door. So we need to be a people that are useful in the way that we were created to be useful. And that is the life that God wants for you. There's no sweeter sleep or better life when what you're doing is what He pleases in you. I know you guys are all on board with this because you came to church on Memorial Day weekend. So you're dedicated. You guys are hardcore. I want to pray over you. I want to ignite in you some passion. I'm going to pray that God's power works in your heart. And I'm going to pray that you rise up. I'm going to pray that you step forward. I'm going to pray that you move into whatever God is calling you to do. So, Father, I just want to thank You that You don't just save us, clean us up, set us down, and leave. Quite to the contrary, God, You save us, You pluck us out of the miry clay, You set us on a high ground, and God, You put Your Spirit in us. And You are relentless in our life. You will never stop. You will never cease. You are at work in Your people. So this morning, God, I pray that the work you're doing, the work your spirit is doing in your people, I pray that it would bust loose like never before. God, I pray that you would open up the eyes of your people, give them such clarity in the name of Jesus on what you've called them to do, of what they're supposed to do. And God, let them walk in that. Let them see the joy of walking and working in your good pleasure, God. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Those of us, God, who feel useless, I pray that you would just turn that thought around. Give us a new thought. Let us understand that we are not useless. We are useful to your kingdom, Lord. We are useful to your kingdom. And I just pray, God, that that thought would be driven out of your people this morning. Let it be replaced with the truth, with the word of the Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully created. We are your work of art and we are your masterpiece. Lord, to those who just don't feel called, Lord, I just pray you would show them that they do have a place, that they are called, and that those giftings you put in them matter. And those who just don't feel like it, God, burn a fresh passion and a zeal for the Lord in their hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, I pray that spiritual giftings would be birthed in your people. I pray that people would take position, God, that you would position the stage and the setting exactly the way you want it, God, for the extended body of Christ, not just this church, but beyond, Lord. I pray that those who are called to be missionaries, those who are called to work in business, those who are called to be prayer warriors, those who are called to be encouragers, God, whatever their gifting is, God, let them walk in the fullness of their giftings in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.